Today's episode is brought to you by No Halftime. No Halftime is a DFS app that allows you to play in one-on-one fantasy contests. Use promo code BBALL100, that's BBALL100, to get a deposit bonus worth up to $100. You can download the No Halftime app on the Apple Store or on Amazon.com. Hello and welcome to the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Roberts, and in today's podcast, we'll be focusing on season-long fantasy. We'll be discussing the schedule for the week ahead. We'll be discussing rankings. We'll be taking some listener questions. To help me to do all that, I'm joined by our Daily Fantasy Sports host, Daniel Green. Daniel, how's it going?
It is going well, my man. Good to be back and doing a nice season-long pod.
How was your week in daily fantasy?
It was a pretty good week, and I'm having a pretty good night tonight as well. You know, I started off a little slow, but now I've hit my sweet spot, Mark, and it's been a pretty fun last few days, and hopefully that can continue the rest of the year, and hopefully it's helping the listeners. Most importantly, it's helping everyone who's listening to the pod as well.
I'm glad to hear that. I'm a little surprised to hear that, actually. It seems like the last few days you've been really giving the business to some of the players.
Well, you know what's funny? First of all, on Twitter, if you post that you're doing well, people don't want to hear that, first of all. they want you to suffer. And every night I'm going to have lineups that do bad. It's just I'm a guy who plays lots of lineups. So there's always guys that are going to stink it up for me. It's just more fun to talk about, you know, the guys who are quote unquote the dream killers, as I like to call them on Twitter, versus the guys who are like helping you win money. I mean, no one wants to hear that, you know, you've made a lot of money. I mean, that's not gonna get you a lot of likes. What will get you likes, Mark, is a funny photo of like when someone does something horrible.
Hey, before we get started, obviously don't want to spend too much time on DFS, but with FanDuel and DraftKings merging, is there anything everybody needs to know about that? Maybe you've already covered this.
No, we didn't cover that. And that's because it's still way too early to know what the hell they're going to do. Mm-hmm. So, it's a wait and see approach.
And it seems like it's truly a merger. Like one company is not taking over the other.
Yeah, that's how it seems. But I mean, I don't mean these companies, first of all, are not transparent, and I don't trust either of them. So, you know, fingers crossed that they do things that are actually going to be beneficial for the consumer. But, you know,
kind of nice to have them join so that you don't have two options. Or do you like having two options?
I mean, I actually like having the two options. I like the two different sites, the different pricing. And, you know, so I actually do like, you know, having the options. But whatever. I mean, if it merged into one, that's fine. I can live with that, too.
All right. Well, I've been trying to think up fantasy names for the new company.
Yeah, no, I saw you tweet that out a couple days ago. It was funny.
We'll see what they come up
with. It was cute. It was cute. You had some cute names. It was very cute.
All right. Let's talk about the schedule this week for season-long leagues. This is week 5. And kind of a funky week because of Thanksgiving. So Thanksgiving is on Thursday. A lot of football games. There is no basketball games on Thursday. So that means they're still fitting the same number of games that they usually fit in. I think, it's just slipped my mind. I think 20 teams or 22 teams have 4 games this week. So it's a normal amount of games. What they've done is they put 13 games on Wednesday and 15 games on Friday. 15 games obviously means every single team is playing on Friday. And actually Monday and Sunday are also rather big slates of games. So Monday has 8 games. Sunday has 8 games as well. So it's conceivable, Daniel, that in a daily moves league, you wouldn't be able to pick up anybody on Monday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, obviously there'll be no games, on Friday or on Sunday. That pretty much leaves Tuesday and Saturday for pickups.
Yeah. I mean, this is basically going to be a week where just hope you have a good team in general.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, because like it's if you had a good draft, you know, this is the one week where you're probably going to have to live and die with that draft. Because you only, like you said, you only have a couple days to kind of make some waiver wire pickups.
Exactly. And like I said, you know, with Monday and Sunday being rather, you know, kind of medium game days where there's 8 games that day, you would think there might be some benefit to picking up somebody who plays both Monday and Tuesday or Saturday and Sunday. But actually, the schedule didn't work out that way either. There are no teams that play both Monday and Tuesday, or no teams that play both Saturday and Sunday. So really, your options for pickups this week really are limited. I did try to go through on Tuesday's slated games and on Saturday's slated games and look at players who are not owned in a lot of leagues who you might could pick up. I came up with a few names, and I'll share those with you, but really the pickings were a little bit slim. So Tuesday, players I liked, Andre Roberson, he's available in 91% of leagues. He does some good defensive things. He's not going to score a lot of points, but he'll grab a few rebounds and maybe get you some defensive stats. Mo Harkless, he's owned in 44% of leagues, so probably isn't available in your competitive leagues, but he scored a little bit and shooting a few three-pointers. He can help you. And Thabo Sefolosha, who's available in 83% of leagues, maybe one other person to think about. Now, the only other players that I wanted to talk to you about, Daniel, of who to pick up on Tuesday are from New Orleans Pelicans. There's a number of players on the team that are not owned in a significant number of leagues who have played fairly well recently. But with Drew Holiday coming back, I'm wondering if any of these guys are interesting to you or not. Langston Galloway, Etuan Moore, and Tim Frazier.
Yeah, so, I mean, the Pelicans have been an interesting team to watch all year. I think it was 2 weeks ago, last time you were on the show with me. Well, first of all, let's rewind even more than that. Like, before the season started, I was so gung-ho on Tim Frazier. And I was like, you know, I think my bold prediction was like, he's going to be a top 50 player until Drew Holiday gets back. So I had me lots of Tim Frazier. I drafted him in almost every league, you know, in one of the late rounds. And he did okay, not as great as I was hoping, but he was pretty solid. But then already like 2 weeks ago, me and you were like, yeah, it's not looking to, he got benched one game and then had one subpar game. So we were like, yeah, I mean, it time may be coming to an end for Tim Frazier. But dude, even with like, and then Drew came back. But even with Drew,
pretty cool. Congratulations that he was able to come back. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, it looks like everything like, you know, worked out with him and his family. Yeah. So that's obviously a Which plus, but yeah, so Drew's back, and he's already up to playing like 30 minutes a night. But Tim Frazier has been balling out of his mind lately. Yesterday, Tim Frazier played 36 minutes, had 17 points, 5 rebounds, 8 assists, 1 steal. And I paid attention to what Elvin Gentry said at the news conference before the game and after the game. Because during the game, Holiday, Galloway, and Frazier, first of all, they all had good games yesterday. And there were large portions where Frazier and Holiday played together. And Gentry said he's going to keep doing that. So I went back and I picked up Tim Frazier in a lot of leagues. Like, I think, you know, like as we were talking pre-show, once Tyreke Evans comes back, then minutes are going to get a little harder to come by. But until Tyreke comes back, I think Tim Frazier is still going to be – he should be owned in definitely in standard leagues. I mean, like, you can play either Drew – like, Drew Holiday can play off the ball a lot, and so can Tim Frazier, quite honestly. You know, and I'm still not ready to jump off the train, off the Tim Frazier train, man. I think he's got some value left for at least until Tyreke comes back.
So you would pick him up potentially on Tuesday. What about Moore and Etuan Moore and Langston Galloway?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want more. I mean, more.
All right, I guess maybe a better way to ask. Let me ask that question a different way, because you could potentially use some Moore or none of those players. What order would you be picking those three up?
So I would go to Tim Frazier, not even close, first. Okay. If I had to go second, you know, second would be hard. I mean, I guess I would go Moore just because he is starting. So, I mean, that weighs a little bit for me. And Galloway, even though Galloway's coming off a really nice night last night, he would be my third choice.
Interesting.
I mean, the problem with Moore, he just doesn't do enough for me. And even when he starts, he really doesn't get enough minutes. So, I mean, really, I'd look Frazier and the other two I don't really want. You know,
I'd actually put Galloway ahead of Moore, but it sounds like you don't feel strongly
about it. You know what? I'm not high on either of them. You know, again, I would just look, you know, thinking and looking at their game logs, and just I think Moore has a little safer floor, to use like a DFS term, whereas Galloway can be a boom or bust guy. You could get him, he could play 12 minutes, and he could do nothing. You know, okay. So and I think out of those three, I mean, I think Galloway is the one who, if he's hot, I think Gentry's going to ride him a little bit. But if he doesn't have it going, he's not going to play a lot of minutes.
Right. All right. And we actually got a, so we're going to go over some listener questions here in a few minutes, but we did get a listener question about Tim Frazier, and might as well cover that now.
Sure. From
Small Ball Rocks. He asks, Seth Curry or Tim Frazier rest of season?
Ooh, that's, first of all, Seth Curry has looked so freaking bad the last few games.
I was just going to say, I'm really surprised that you're struggling with this, because over the last week, he's played 33 minutes a game in four games, which is a pretty, and actually the last 2 weeks, he's played 33 minutes a game over six games. So it's a pretty good sample size. But over this past week, he's averaged 8.8 points, three rebounds, three assists, less than a steal, barely a three-pointer. He shot 33% from the field. I'm not the biggest Tim Frazier fan, but this one is pretty easy for me.
Well, the only reason I'm struggling here is because Drew's back. When Tyreek comes back, I could envision a time when Tim Frazier just goes basically to like an end of the bench guy, not playing at all.
Yeah, but Seth Curry has that same. I would say the probability that he ends up on the end of the bench is about the same that as Tim Frazier.
Well, it's close.
Back. JJ Barea comes back. Devin Harris is healthy.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, look at the guys you just mentioned. Like, do we really trust Darren Williams to stay healthy? No. Do we trust? I mean,
you're comparing him to Drew Holiday, Tyreek Evans. Like, those guys are just as injury prone.
Well, Tyreek certainly is. Yeah, I mean, I guess that's a fair argument. Look, this is what I would say. I would say go with Tim Frazier. And
Tim Frazier is at least playing well right now. Like,
yeah, because he hasn't even done anything. Because, and then either way, you'll be able to get someone on the, let's say you have to dump Frazier at some point. Either way, you can pick up someone on the waiver wire probably better than Seth Curry. It's just, he's been very, very disappointing. He's not his brother.
It turns out just because he has the same last name, they're not the same skill set.
I mean, Dallas is just an absolute mess. I mean, he's, like you said, he's getting so many minutes, all the shots right now. And Dirk's still out too. So once Dirk, if he ever can get back with his Achilles, yeah, I mean, I guess I would lean Frazier.
It's hard to play 33 minutes a game and not get 10 points.
Oh, it is so not. Courtney Lee, Lance Thomas.
Yeah. Well, look who's your name. Guys. I mean, that makes my point, basically.
Aaron Afalo. Yeah,
he's those basically are the guys you're comparing him to.
Yeah, but the difference is Seth Curry's getting shots. If those guys just stand in the corner and, maybe take a three a quarter. Like, Seth Curry's actually has the ball. Like, he has the ball and he's getting shots, and he can't make anything.
Yeah, he had one good game against the Lakers, which, despite being a surprising team, is not the model of NBA defense at this point.
It's been like, even in DFS, it's been sad. So I think we like all of us have been playing him because he's been so dirt cheap and he's just been sucking it up. So roll with my boy Tim Frazier.
Yeah, I would even agree with that. All right, now let's move to Saturday. Some people you might want to pick up on Saturday. Again, Andre Roberson, OKC, is playing on Saturday. So actually, if you're in a league where they limit the number of moves you can make this week, you might not be too concerned about that. But if you are, you could pick up Roberson on Tuesday, keep him Wednesday, fill in with your starters, Friday, fill in with your normal starters, and then play him again on Saturday before you drop him.
I wish you got like points for just being a good defender. He's such a good defender, Roberson.
Yes. Speaking of good defenders, James Johnson is another guy you might want to consider picking up on Saturday. He's played really well lately.
Yeah,
he's only owned in 88% of leagues.
I mean, well, the problem with him is I think Winslow's going to be back. So as soon as Winslow comes back,
Yeah, I'll be interested to see, because he has played so well for the last two or three games. I wonder if they can find a spot on the floor for him, because it's not like they have so much talent that they just have to, play the other guys.
Yeah, I mean, they were starting Luke Babbitt up until a couple of the games ago. So, yeah. So
I'm interested to see if there's some minutes for him. Marco Bellinelli is owned in only 3% of leagues. He's played well in the last couple of weeks. Vince Carter is still only owned in 18% of leagues. He's played well pretty much throughout this whole season. And Ish Smith, I was surprised to see, is available in 60% of leagues. He's also playing on Saturday. You may want to consider picking him up if you need some assists.
Yeah, that surprises me as well. I'm not sure why.
Yeah.
He's so low owned. Even Deion Waiters, that surprises me. Especially in the last week and a half or so when Dragic was out, Winslow was out. I mean, it was all the shots he could handle. He, you know, he was getting, his usage rate was just insane. He was getting so many shots up.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, and last thing to mention with the schedule. So there are two teams have two games this week. That's Utah and Chicago. Be careful locking anybody in those teams into your lineup. All right, Daniel, are you ready to answer some questions from some of our listeners?
Yeah, when you said be careful, I was going to say, I thought you were going to say be careful just watching a Utah Jazz game, just period. I mean, if you're watching a Utah or Memphis game, just get ready to have a bottle of whiskey in front of you because it is painful, Mark.
It's really too bad that Utah has dealt with so many injuries so far this season, because I think everybody was pretty excited about that Utah team. And it's like, we still don't know if we should be excited about it or not, because they just haven't – they've had one game, I think, where George Hill, Gordon Hayward, and Derek Favors have played together. Yeah. Not to mention the rest of the team. Just even those three guys have only been on the court once this season.
Yep.
So I want to see them get healthy so that we can see if that's a real team or not.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm with you. And I also, though, I would like to know – maybe our listeners can tell us who's more dreadful to watch? Is it Utah, Memphis, or Dallas?
I would say Dallas.
Or Brooklyn.
Brooklyn. It has to be Brooklyn. Bro, dude,
they play hard. They actually play hard, though.
Yeah, they're such funky line. Like, I feel like I can never – and maybe this is the right way to approach it because of the players, but I feel like it's just a hockey rotation. Like,
it is.
Just interchangeable, and, like, I can't –
it is, but at least like they,
like who has the ball, I can't even tell. And like, I play in leagues where there's like 400 players owned, and I still don't know some of the players Brooklyn's playing, and it doesn't seem to matter. They just kind of are all interchangeable, and it's like a drudgery to watch.
Yeah, I mean, they're rolling out, like, you know, Foy, Harris, Kilpatrick, Scola's even getting run, Whitehead, Bogdanovich. Oh. You know, I mean, it's just our boy Hollis Jefferson. Yeah, it's a nightmare, but. The one thing, at least they play with pace, whereas, you know, the other teams, the Utah, Memphis, and even Dallas now to a certain degree, I mean, they're just – it's so slow and boring. And these teams have scored 70
points. Orlando would probably be in that discussion.
Yeah, I mean, Orlando, I guess, too. I mean, these are teams scoring, like, in the high 70s or low 80s in points, which is just painful.
Yeah, that's
– not to mention that hurts fantasy value, because, I mean, if you're at a slow pace, there's not a lot of possessions, and it's tough to – you know, it's obvious your stats are going to come down.
Yep. Agree. All right, let's get to some of these listener questions. This one is from Swaggy. He says, talk about possible season trades. And specifically, he wants to know if he should stash Noel. So I think the impetus here is, hey, is Nerlens Noel going to get traded? And if he does get traded, is he worth holding on to, is he going to have value once he gets to a different team? So answer the first question, Daniel. Do you think Nerlens Noel gets traded at some point this season?
I mean, I got to think the one guy they try to move is Okafor and not Noel.
Really?
Yeah. I think, you know, watching Philly play, as we were discussing pre-show, Okafor sucks. Like, offensively, he gets every shot blocked. Like, he's got a little bit of an offensive game. But,
can you imagine if they would have let Hinkie draft Porzingis? It would have been Porzingis. Well,
Porzingis and Embiid in the same lineup, which would have been, I mean, just for
and
the next.
And Ben Simmons, that would have been
awesome. Oh, God. It was just, oh, so beautiful. Yeah, I mean, it's a shame. Okafor, like, he's got a little bit of an offensive game, but just he gets bullied around the basket. He can't get a shot off against half the defenders in the league. Defensively, he's atrocious. Like, I don't know. At least Noel has a skill. Noel is talented defensively. So yes. I think that they try to keep. I think they try to keep Noel and get and dump Okafor. I mean, the problem is every team in the NBA knows that Philly wants to unload him. So no one's willing to give up anything. I mean,
I actually might be able to surprised if they move both Okafor and Noel.
You wouldn't be surprised.
I wouldn't be surprised at all if they.
I wouldn't either, because I mean, Philly keeps saying that they want to play Noel at the five and Embiid at the five. So it's just, there's only so many minutes to go around. As long as Embiid's on this minute restrictions, then each can play like 24 at some point, but that's at some point that's got to end. So I guess, you know, in a 12 team, nine cat. Oh God. So we're talking about if there's not an injury spot, it's an actual spot on your roster.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. If you can stash him, obviously do it because he has potential. But so if you look at our projections for the rest of the season, I've got him projected in 28 minutes per game, which I think is a pretty reasonable, like if he gets into a healthy situation, whether it's in Philadelphia.
I think 28 is going to be tough because, I mean, if they're only going to play him at the five.
Well, I think that's if he ends up in a good situation where he can play starters minutes, but 28 is probably, you know, sort of a ceiling for him. You won't expect him to play a lot more than that. Mm-hmm. He comes out with 11 points, 8 rebounds, 1.5 steals, 1.5 blocks, which sounds nice, but he comes out as about the 100th best player. So he's certainly not worth keeping on your team if you don't have an injury spot for him. But if you do have an injury spot for him, I'm okay keeping him around.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and I guess that's what I would say too. I mean, I think he's fine to stash. But you know he's not a guy if you're like
I don't even think he's a mustache.
Yeah, I mean I don't think so either. And I don't think if you're thinking well, this guy's going to help me like you know win my league, that he's not going to be that type of player right now.
And obviously you want to adjust that a little bit if you're desperate for steals or blocks, and which can you know sometimes be hard to find, especially somebody who can do both of those things. So adjust accordingly. But I don't know. Except for in those cases, he's probably not going to have that much value. He's not going to score a lot. He actually doesn't get that many rebounds. Like his best two categories are definitely steals and blocks. All right, let's move on here. We already talked about Seth Curry versus Frazier. All right. Claymond Courant wants to know, what's up with DeAndre Jordan? I'm sniffing out potential trades.
Yeah, this is a big issue. You know, especially this is DFS season long. This is everywhere. His numbers across the board have been down. It's been very perplexing. I mean, first of all, numbers have been down because the Clippers have been blowing everyone out. So his minutes have been down. So that makes logical sense, right? Minutes come down, your stats are going to come down. The second big issue, though, and this is what's more troubling, and this happened last night when the Clippers played the Bulls. Doc, you know, and this is just how the NBA is going to go. There's going to be some nights where there's not going to be a center on the court, like a true old-fashioned center. I mean, there's not going to be a 7-footer on the court. So Doc Rivers went with Mo Spates at the five, went small, and then the Bulls countered, which Hoiberg should not have done, and they went small, and Robin Lopez didn't play either. So, like, this is why it's just tough with a lot of these centers. I mean, I know we talked about the Nurkic, Jokic, and Alex Len. I mean, all these big 7-footers. You know, Valanciunas, there's just going to be games where they don't play a lot of minutes. And over the course of a year, that's going to show up in their stats because that's the modern NBA is not suited for these guys.
Right. And that's what actually the direction I was going to go with this. So if you look at his per minute stats, basically in line exactly where he was last season, he's averaging 12 points per 36 minutes, which was about where he's at last couple of years. He's averaging 14.6 rebounds, 2 blocks. He's shooting 60% from the field, which is actually last season he shot 70% from the field. So he's down a little bit there. It's just a matter of his minutes being down, but still, like, he's averaging 10 points, 12 rebounds, 1.6 blocks. Like, I think he's basically doing a lot of the things that you expect him to do. Maybe a little bit more inconsistent than you expected from him, but I don't know. If you drafted DeAndre Jordan, you were probably punting. You probably need his 12 rebounds a game. Like, you're not going to find somebody who does that better. And you probably are punting field goal free throw percentage. And so, I don't know. That's probably not hurting you. So, I get all the things that you're saying. And I do see that his minutes are down pretty drastically from last season. But I think you're pretty much stuck. Like, he's such a unique team build in season-long leagues. That unless you find somebody else who wants to build their team that way and you didn't draft a lot of other players like him, I think you've just kind of got to readjust your expectations that he's not going to play as many minutes and move forward.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with that. I mean, the Clippers have had an exorbitant amount of blowouts, and that's not going to, that will not continue. So, I mean, those games are just anomalies. You know, I do worry a little bit about the Clippers going small, him not playing. But I'll say this, even last night when he was in the game, he looked good. He was active. They actually went to him a couple times in the post. He showed like a little bit of an offensive game. So I think he actually has improved his skills in real life.
That's what I'm saying. Like per minute, per possession, he's just as valuable fantasy wise as he was last season. It's just a matter of playing time.
Yeah. So I think ultimately he'll be okay.
Yeah. L. Cruz asks, how will Marcus Smart, Darren Collison, and Ricky Rubio's stock turn out? They are not consistent right now. Let's take those one by one. So Marcus Smart, how do you feel about Marcus Smart by now?
I mean, I just don't think he's going to be, I think he's not going to be just a super consistent offensive guy. So he's always going to shoot pretty poorly. He's actually played pretty well for him, I think, this year.
DeAndre Jordan, he's somebody that you drafted knowing that he's going to kill your percentages. So hopefully your team isn't built in a way that you need him to shoot good from the field or from the free throw line, because he's going to do neither. But he makes some three-pointers. He gets a fair number of rebounds and assists. He gets a ton of steals. He doesn't score a whole lot, but I think he's pretty much given you what you expected at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, and expect things to get a little worse, actually, because once Jay Crowder comes back, he came back, I think, yesterday. So he's been getting starting some games and playing a few extra minutes because Jay Crowder was out, and the Boston was basically rolling out like Isaiah Bradley and Marcus Smart. It's some nights. So,
may actually get worse for him is what you're
saying. Yeah. Yeah. A little bit.
I'm looking up where he is. So I've got him about 120th in my rest of season rankings. I would agree. I expect him to come down a little bit from there. So he's probably in a standard league, a waiver wire type of a stream option, especially for where he is so good at steals. And three pointers is where you'd want to pick him up for those two categories. Collison, I mean, I don't know what to say. He's been getting about 30 minutes per game in the last couple of weeks. This is basically, he's averaging 12 points, 5 assists, 1.2 steals. He's shooting a good percentage from the field. He's not hitting a lot of three-pointers. That's basically who Darren Collison is. I think he continues to be – if I had both of those guys, I would take Darren Collison over Marcus Smart, but the difference in value is not – super drastic.
I think it potentially could be, though. I think Darren Collison still, he's just
why now. I mean, what would potentially make him worth
points assists?
Yeah, but he's been in the league for how many years? Like, he's just never had a
well, I mean, he's on a team with Tin Man Ty Lawson. And he's,
no. He can get some playing time, and he could be a valuable player. But like, I don't think the upside from his 12 points and 5 assists, where he's at right now, I don't think there's a lot more upside from that.
Oh, he was doing a lot of that, getting not a lot of minutes though. I mean, I think he can do a hell of a lot better than that. I think he can be a 16-8 guy.
No, what in his career suggests he can average 8 assists?
How many years has he been able to start, be a starting point guard, and legitimately get 35 minutes a night?
He's had stretches in his career where he's played a lot of minutes. He was Indiana's starter. He was Dallas's. Did he start in Dallas?
No.
So let me read you his per 36 assist numbers for his season, for his career. Last season, 5.8. Last season, 5.2. Season before 5.8, season before 5.2, season before 6.3, season before 5.5, season before 6.2. He's never even averaged 7 assists per 36 minutes. I don't think he's going to play 36 minutes. So I would be surprised if he gets anywhere over 5, maybe 5.5 assists per game. Yeah. He's never been that player.
Well, he is more of a scoring first guy.
And so if you're going to say, hey, I think he can do more than 12 points, he could do 14 points, he could be 14-5, like I can get on board with that. But I don't think he's ever going to get the big assists where he needs to really boost his numbers up too much higher than where he's at.
I say he gets more than 5.5 assists.
I would take that bet.
All right, let's do it.
Absolutely.
But I want to do it starting now, not counting the first however many games.
Sure.
That's an easy win for me.
He's only one, two. He's only twice in his, I don't know, eight NBA seasons ever averaged more than 5.5 assists per 36 minutes.
And I bet you those are the two only years he started.
He was barely over those numbers, though. Like, he's never really even approached those numbers.
All right. Speaking of assists.
Yeah.
Your next boy, Rubio.
Yeah, Rubio.
Just traded Rubio already. Just in real life, just traded. No, I mean, my thoughts are, why hasn't he gotten any better in 8 years?
What? I mean, that's a fair criticism.
I mean, I thought I talked bad in him on one of our season long shows, and a bunch of I got the viewer backlash. There's a lot of Rubio supporters out there.
Well, you said he wasn't a good defender, which is not true. He's one of the best point guard defenders in the league.
Just because he gets steals?
It's not because he gets steals. I think in fairness to you, we're not like as a statistics from a statistics perspective, we're still not great at measuring defense. So it's a little hollow to say, hey, every defensive metric says that Ricky Rubio is a really good defender. But I think the fact that almost pretty much every defensive metric says that he's a good defender and it's really consistent is a good indicator that he's a good defender. And then I think just look at how he does by the eye test. I think he's a good defender. So
I've watched almost every Minnesota game. He's an average defender. I mean, nothing stands out that I'm like, oh man, he's like. I mean, like I watch Marcus Smart play. I'm like, dear God, stay away, stay away, stay away.
It's funny that you said that because I was just going to say he's not like Marcus Smart is one of the only defenders in the league who's like a flashy defender. Do you know what I mean? Like you watch him and he's like, oh my goodness, he's going to swallow that other person. And like,
yeah, they are.
So Rubio is not like that. He's just a very sound, like good defender. And actually for fantasy, it's nice. He averages a bunch of assists or excuse me, steals as well. But you know, I think the concerns about his shooting and why he never improved that is a legitimate unknown.
It just stinks because you know, at this point, I think it's just not going to improve, right? I don't know. I mean, I wonder if he's one of the guys like you go into practice gym and he makes everything. You know, they always say there's guys like even like they say that you know DeAndre Jordan makes like you know 90 out of 100 free throws in practice and then in the game just he can't shoot. I wonder if that's the same with Rubio because. Yeah. It's just frustrating. Yeah, I mean, so I think, you know, at this point, after he's probably still relatively young and in real life, but he's been in the league forever. I mean, Rubio is what he is at this point.
He's 26.
Oh God, that's it! Wow.
Yeah, he's like 18 months older than Chris Dunn.
That's unbelievable. That's I mean, crazy. Is this like his eighth year in the league?
Like,
he's
I think been so. Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah, he really is.
Yeah.
No, I mean, everybody always cites Jason Kidd and being like. Hey, he could turn around, but like if your only example is somebody who's a Hall of Fame, point guard who's led like three or two teams to the NBA Finals, then I kind of don't think that should be your fallback argument that he's going to learn how to shoot.
Yeah.
So what do we do with him the rest of the season? So he has been dreadful this season, absolutely dreadful. He in seven games. You know, he was out with an injury. He has averaged 7 assists, which is good, but not Ricky Rubio good. Like he's usually been in the 9 assist category. And then from there, it's been a real nightmare. He's only averaging 6 points. He's down to 1 steal per game, which is poor for him. He's shooting near 30%, which even for him is below his standards.
Yes. I mean, there's basically two things that are going against him now this year. And well, I mean, you can make a case more than that, but I mean, the two that stand out to me the most are Zach LaVine's capable of starting now and capable of basically playing the point and handling the ball more. The other one is stupid Andrew Wiggins. Andrew Wiggins, he's basically like, you know, a mini version of DeMar DeRozan, where he gets the ball, dribble, 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 iso, 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 difficult contested, you know, follow away jumper, that, and then it will go in. Andrew Wiggins has been playing great. But Andrew Wiggins is a ball stopper. So
I got a question. I got a question for you then.
Yeah.
Between these three, Smart, Collison, Rubio, how would you rank them the rest of the season of who you would want?
I still go Rubio one because at the end of the day, I still think Rubio's assists are going to, I mean, they're going to come up, not going to be at seven. They're going to come up. And just because Rubio, he excels at assists and steals. He basically can win you two categories a week. So for that reason, I go Rubio one, I go Collison easily two, and Marcus Smart three.
You stole my thunder. I was hoping that you would pick somebody else and that I could no. Look smart by.
No, as much as I think Rubio could be in for a down year for him because of some of those things we talked about, he'll still end up with better numbers than the other two.
Yeah, those assists and steals are going to make him close to a top 50 player. And I would actually say he's probably a pretty good get at target. As for, you know, somebody may actually drop him. If not, somebody may trade him to you fairly cheaply, maybe for Marcus Smart or Darren Collison. I think he's significantly better than both of those players, like probably 20, 30 spots in the rankings better than those two players. And particularly with Smart, I think Smart is droppable. I'd want to own those other two, but way prefer Rubio.
Yeah.
Here's a quick one from Small Ball Rocks. He wants to know who to drop between Robin Lopez and Seth Curry. We already talked about Seth Curry and how poorly he's done.
Hold on. Who asked this question?
Small Ball Rocks.
How dare you, Small Ball Rocks? You do not drop Robin Lopez, that beautiful beast. He's great. I love Robin Lopez.
All right, so let me.
He's been playing fantastic, man. Like the only
we're gonna have to unpack this a little bit because Robin Lopez is averaging 9.4 points, 7.7 rebounds, and 1.3 blocks on 45% shooting this season. So what's getting you all hot and bothered about Robin Lopez?
Yeah, see, this is the part where DFS and season long can kind of be a little bit different. In DFS, he's so dirt cheap.
And last game, he had 10 points and 6 rebounds and nothing else.
You can't use the last game. That was against the Clippers. They benched him. He barely played any minutes because, I told you, the Clippers benched DeAndre Jordan, and then the Bulls countered by benching Robin Lopez. But before that, first of all, when Lopez is going to play big minutes, which has been – he's played significant minutes most of the year, unless teams go small. He's
playing about 27 minutes a game.
He's not just a guy, like a big guy out there. Like, he's actually involved in the offense. He gets a decent amount of shots. He's a double-double. I think as long as he's going to play minutes, he should get you a double-double with one or two blocks.
There's as many games this season where he's had less than 10 points as the amount of games he's had more than 10 points.
Yeah, I mean, I would just say watching him play, watching the Bulls play every game, and especially the way he's looked lately, I think he's a guy that I'd want to own. I think, granted,
I would want to own him as well.
Yeah, I mean, definitely over Seth Curry. I mean, I think he's a guy has a chance to be on your roster all year long. He's a guy, we talked about this, I think, last week by doing the show with Tyler. No one game is probably going to stick out and be like, oh, wow, look at the numbers he's putting up. At the end of the week, though, he could have, 50 points, 50 rebounds, something like that. And then you say, wow, that's a pretty nice week.
He could also have, at the end of four games, have 20 points and 15 rebounds. But with all of that said, I would still pick him over Seth Curry. You got to feel like for the rest of the season, his spot in the rotation is at least set where Curry could end up back on the bench pretty easily.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just telling you, he's been better than I thought, and he's actually, whereas that most people just talk about Brook Lopez as the only talented Lopez brother. I mean, he's got some offensive skills. I've been surprised.
Yeah, he's been All right, so we got basically two more questions from a couple of different people. Players to stash if potential trades go down, and who benefits? So they mentioned. I'm not really – so this was at Mets Jets tweet. I think he's asking two different questions here because he says, Dragic, Boogie, or Gay, who benefits from trades? And I don't think you could obviously stash any of those players. So Boogie's playing about as well as you can expect. Last couple of weeks, he's averaging 31 points, 10.5 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, a block, and 2 three-pointers. If you're not worried about percentages, he's been spectacular. So I know there's a lot of buzz about Boogie Cousins getting traded, but man, he's in a pretty good situation right now for fantasy. He's got to be one of your highest priced players.
Yeah, I mean, he is. I mean, the problem, the one thing with Sacramento that's probably been the most frustrating thing for me is they like led the league in pace last year, and they're dead last. As I think entering tonight, they're dead last in pace.
Yeah, well,
so
new coach.
Well, true, but I mean, like, what's he trying to do? I mean, put us all to sleep. And if you watch Cousins play,
you watch Memphis play though, right? Like, that's the same coach.
Right. But I mean, you go with who you have in your team. I mean, he has, when you have Gasol, Randolph, and Conley, what are you going to do? You can't play like the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, but Cousins is, he's not exactly fleet of foot.
No, but he's got, you know, Rudy Gay and Collison, those guys should play, faster pace. I think, but I mean, if you watch, so the frustrating things about Cousins are one, I mean, his numbers are down a little bit because not nearly as many possessions. I mean, last year Rondo was getting 20 assists a game for them. He was going.
What do you mean so his numbers are excellent? Cousins is averaging 28 points, 10 on the season, 28 points, 10 rebounds, almost 4 assists, a steal, and a block.
Isn't that down a little bit? And isn't that down a little bit from last year?
No, it's basically right on with last season.
I looked, they were down a little bit.
His assists or his steals and blocks are down just a smidge from last season. But otherwise, I mean, his scoring's up just a smidge. It's kind of hard to believe. I think people overlook this pretty easily, but he's one of those 3-pointer steal and block a game guys, which is kind of funny to think about. But he's close to almost 1.5 of each of those last season, and. I don't know. I think he's doing excellent. I would be worried about him getting traded anywhere else, trying to fit in with new teammates. I think if you own Boogie, you're hoping that he stays on the Kings. I mean, what about Dragic or Rudy Gay? Do you think either of those two would benefit from a trade?
Dragic, no. I mean, Dragic is in the spot right now. Even the best possible scenario for him. So absolutely not for Dragic. Rudy Gay, he's gonna do anywhere he goes. He's gonna do the same thing. I think he might drop down a little bit too. I mean, he's gonna go ISO and shoot fadeaways and probably put up close to 20 actual points, and not a whole lot else.
I can't come up with somebody right off the top of my head, so I don't know if you can either. But is there anybody in the league that you think like last year? I kept saying my two guys that I kept saying, if there are trades that happen that benefit these two guys, you need to be stashing them. And that was Schroeder and Clint Capella. And unfortunately, neither of them, there was no trade for either of those guys until this offseason, and they're both playing well. So there's nobody that I'm thinking of like that would really benefit from a trade. Is there anybody along those lines that you can think of, Daniel?
No, not without. I would have had to think about that before the show first.
You probably ought to do some research on that.
No, no one jumps off the, off the screen or off the, just thinking about the players. No one's coming to mind.
Cool. All right, let's get to the last question. This is actually a question that was asked by a couple people. So I did do some research on this one. Stephen Rosie, hopefully I'm pronouncing that right. He's asking for potential buy low.
I think it'd be Rossi.
Rossi. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And then
Mark, I got to do a league pass alert. I'm having a fantastic DFS night.
Congratulations.
Just Valachunas. He is just dominating DeMarcus Cousins. 46 FanDuel points for Valachunas. Beautiful. All right. Sorry. Go ahead.
All right. And then Gumba says any buy low and sell high targets. So I don't know if I did some research today, Daniel. I don't know if I approached this exactly how our listeners were thinking about it, but what I did is I basically looked at all the players' average draft position, and then I looked at how they've performed so far this season. And so my first list here, I've got some people who are really outperforming their average draft position, and I kind of want to talk through some of these players, and you can tell me, we can discuss and decide if their performance to this far in the season is real, or if we think they are a sell high candidate. Does that sound good?
Yep.
All right. So first guy to start with is actually the number one player in the fantasy universe so far this season. not really a surprise, because we all know that he's this talented. Just a little bit surprising that he has played enough games to qualify, I guess. Anthony Davis, he was drafted 10th. That was his average draft position on ESPN. He is performing as the best fantasy player this season. This one's a little hard because it's really like he's not doing anything out of the ordinary, really. So it's just if you think he can stay healthy or not, right? Like that's the only reason you would sell high on him.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I do think his touches will go down a little bit once Tyree comes back. unfortunately, I mean, you know, if we've all watched Tyree play, we all know what kind of a bum he is to watch play basketball. Dribble, 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 top of the key, 24 seconds, 20, for 23 seconds, and then shoot a fadeaway three. But yeah, for the most part, you're right. It's all with him. It's all about injuries.
There are four players I would trade Anthony Davis for.
Oh, let me see if I can guess.
Yeah, go ahead.
Durant.
Yep.
Curry.
Yep.
Harden and Westbrook.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
I'm not trading him for anybody else. I'm not trading him for Towns. I'm not trading him for LeBron James. I'm not trading him for Paul George or Leonard. Yeah,
Towns was the one guy. It's like, is Mark really that crazy? Does he love Towns that much? Yeah. I'm with you. Those are the four that I would probably do that to.
Those are the four guys you're trading him for. And I think so. I guess I'm willing to sell high on him, but like I'm only willing to sell super high on him.
Yeah.
All right. This one's a little more interesting. Kemba Walker. He was a end of the second, top of the third round pick. He was drafted 25th overall on average. He is now in the top 10 so far this season. He's ninth overall. He's having a fantastic season. What do you think? What's your read on Kemba so far?
Dude, he's a consistency monster. Like he's been fantastic, you know. And I don't think he's done anything out of the ordinary, quite honestly. Like there's no numbers when I look at him that says I don't think he can maintain that.
Right.
So
I mean, I'm surprised. I am surprised. I have to admit. So last season he averaged 21 points. Season before he averaged 17 points. I'm surprised he was able to go from 17 to 21 and then to go from 21 to 25 this season. It's a jump that players make, but I guess I'm a little surprised he's able to make it. And the number that I really think is maybe unsustainable and correlated to that points is he's shooting 47% from the field this season. He's never shot better than 42% from the field. That makes me a little nervous.
Yeah, I'm real quickly. I'm trying to look at the pace of the Hornets for this year. Yeah, I mean, see, to me, this is the big thing, right? And this is you talked about his him evolving, going from 17 to 21 to 25 points. And look at the way Charlotte used to play a couple years ago. Give it to Big Al in the post.
Yeah,
like super slow. You know, just they were one of the teams that, you know, throwing with Utah and Memphis. Just it was just kind of a slugfest. They're not that team anymore, man. Like, you know, with Kemba, MKG, even Nick Batum, even like one of the Zeller or even Kaminsky, who actually was playing pretty well. Like, they're ranked 11th in the NBA in pace right now. It's the faster you play, it's just, you know, common sense. The more possessions, you know, the more chance for stats, more chance for shots. So I'm with you. The field goal percentage. Kemba takes tough shots, so I don't know if he can maintain shooting 47-48%.
I kind of think like 22 points a game or something is where maybe he settles in.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, 22-23. But I don't think, you know, his numbers are going to fall too much. I mean, that's just, you know, that team, they've evolved. That the whole organization, they went basically to being his team, and they built the team around him.
I don't know if this is a bold prediction or not, but I would take him over Kyrie Irving's.
Wow, that's – I mean, it sounds
– I would rather have him than Kyrie Irving.
Sounds crazier than it – you know, if because when you think about it, I think Kyrie's more talented.
Yeah,
but I'm probably with you just because Kyrie plays with LeBron and Love, and there's going to be nights where Kyrie doesn't need to do much, whereas every night Kemba needs to ball out of his mind for them to win.
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah, no, I agree with you.
But I still have him below a few guys. Like, I would probably still rather, you know, obviously Dame – Chris Paul, John Wall, I think that's probably a toss up. I think those two are right. You know,
yeah, him and John Wall would be an interesting.
Yeah. Maybe a no halftime challenge.
Yeah, that would be an interesting. I mean, like it's. I mean, like the three guys who are always every night I debate playing. It's always Lowry, Kemba, Isaiah Thomas. Those are the three that are always around the same price.
Isaiah Thomas has been fantastic so far this season.
He's been great. Yeah.
All right, let's talk about Otto Porter. So Otto Porter was drafted outside the top 100 in ESPN leagues. Do I have this right? I think he sat out a few games so far this season. But on a per game basis, he's been the 26th best player so far this season. Which honestly, like, I own Otto Porter and I've been pleased with his efforts. I was surprised to see that he was that high up in the rankings.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not just because I.
No, like, I've been following the stat lines and I'm still surprised. But he's been fantastic. He's averaging
maybe 26. I wouldn't have predicted, but he's been tremendous.
15 points a game, 8 rebounds, 1.7 steals, almost a block. He's shooting 50% from the field. He's giving you 1.4 three pointers. He's been absolutely fantastic this season. His point and on a per possession basis, his points are up, but you know, not a crazy amount. His rebounds are up. His steals and blocks are right in line with career averages. So it feels like a sustainable step forward, and he's just playing a lot of minutes to boot. So I kind of think this is sustainable. And I guess I would kind of say maybe he's a buy low candidate, or I don't know. Do you think everybody realizes that he's like a top 25, 30 player now?
It depends how close you've been paying attention to, especially to Washington, and they're so bad you may not have been paying. You may not be paying attention to their team.
They're not a ton of fun to watch either.
No, they are. I mean, Scott Brooks just walked into an absolute crap storm. I mean, this is what I'll say. I think this is a sell high opportunity because his numbers are that high because Beal's been out a ton. Wall's been out a ton. So
yeah, but I mean.
Dude, there's been nights, trust Mark, there's been nights when it's literally the Otto Porter show. He's there all by himself. It's like him and Markieff, and Markeef's an idiot. He'll get two fouls or slamming someone in the head in a minute.
Bill always gets hurt, though.
True. You know what I mean? No, that's a very valid point. But Porter's not going to get any higher. This is going to be his all-time high because Beal, the last couple games, has looked good. And Beal's minutes are slowly coming up. Wall is still on this weird minute thing, so whenever Wall can rile it back up to 35 minutes a night, the guy who will take a hit there is going to be Otto.
I guess our answer is kind of like a shruggy face, like he might be a buy low and he might be a sell high.
No, not for me. I mean, to me, he's a sell high.
Depends on your league, though. I wonder if you could pick him up pretty cheaply in some leagues.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
But I think we have a difference of opinion here, which is probably good. All right, go ahead.
No. Yeah, go ahead. I'm with you.
Oh, I was going to say, let's get to another guy in Washington. Marcin Gortat, he's had a pretty solid season so far this season, averaging 11.5 rebounds, 11.5 points, 12.5 rebounds, 1.3 blocks on 58% shooting. He's up a little bit from his pre-draft rankings. I actually think he's an extremely high sell high. He's averaging 35 minutes per game. There's reports that Yam Nahimni is coming back. I think those two are going to somewhat split time. I think Gortat's minutes are going to go way down. So if you have Gortat and have enjoyed his success so far this season, I think you got to try pretty hard to move him. I think his value is going to take a big hit in the next couple of weeks as Nahimni works back into the rotation.
Yeah. Well, how many minutes do you think Nahimni is going to get?
I could see them basically splitting, or if really? Not splitting, going more. Gortat's
really good, man. Gortat is really good.
They gave Nahimni $16 million, $18 million a season. I don't think they're going to pay him $16 million a season and not play him at least 20 to 22 minutes a game.
I mean, you could make a case. I mean, it's not saying much, I guess, but Gortat may be Washington's most consistent guy this year. I think he has been.
So you've got two guys that can only play center. And then, as you said, like, we're into a situation in the NBA where that doesn't mean these two are going to sum up to 48 minutes. Like, there'll be times when Markieff Morris maybe plays center for them. or somebody else. So I don't know that there's a ton of, like, there's not more than 48 minutes to go around between these two, and there may be less than 48 minutes. And I think they're going to play Mahimni some minutes because they obviously invested in him a lot. They like him a lot. So
I will say there's nights now where Gortat's playing like 34 minutes, and I'm like, and I'll look at the box.
He's averaging 35 minutes per game. Yeah. It's just not going to continue.
Yeah. So he's no spring chicken either. So
he's 32. He's
there. Yeah. So I mean, like, I'm with you that his value might come down a little bit, but I'd be shocked if those two split minutes though. Gortat's a significantly better player in my opinion. And plus Gortat, I mean, him and Wall, I mean, with the pick and roll, I mean, are meshed pretty well together out there on the court. Granted, this year hasn't been.
But you would have thought if they would have thought all of that, that they wouldn't have invested so much money in Mahimni.
Yeah, I mean, it's a perplexing move. But that's, I mean, you talk about one of the worst GMs in the league, and now you immediately go to Washington. I mean, you know, what the hell is that guy doing? I mean,
All right, so let's talk about some buy low guys, Daniel. This is maybe where you thought I was going with the first question, but Karl-Anthony Towns, he went fifth in a lot of drafts.
I took him fifth in the draft.
Probably over Anthony Davis. Right?
Yeah, I think I did.
Yeah, oh, probably. Right. He's been the 23rd best player so far this season, so not terrible, but certainly not what you were expecting from him. Do you think he settles in down at that, you know, kind of second round value, or do you think he is in a buy low situation at this point?
I mean, I think he's still a buy low guy.
Yeah.
But I will say this. I don't think the numbers are I wouldn't be surprised if the numbers, if we all just got a little too excited for the first year playing with Tibbs in that system. There's a lot of moving pieces there, you know, so I think the numbers may be a little bit lower than we originally thought.
Yeah, so the deal is the reason that he's dropped in value, and actually he was only the 16th ranked player last season, and part of his value came because he played so many games. I think if you wanted to find signs to buy low in him, he's playing 3 more minutes per game than he did last season. His scoring is up 4 points a game. He's making close to 2 three-pointers a game. Last season he only made a half. The only reason his value is down is because the rebounds and blocks are not where they were last season. And actually his free throw percentage is down quite a bit. So you assume that maybe the free throw percentage comes back up. I don't know about the blocks and rebounds. I don't know why this always seems to happen. Ibaka is the classic example. When guys start shooting three-pointers, their rebounds go down, which I guess you could argue, you know, hey, they're not close to the basket on offense as much, so their rebounds should go down. But their blocks seem to go down too. I don't know though. I still think he's a top 10 player. I don't know if he's going to end the season as a top 5 player, but I've got him 7th in my rest of season rankings behind Anthony Davis now. And I don't know. I think he's still a top 10 player. I would buy low on him. If his owner feels like, you know, selling low on him.
Yeah. I mean, part of the reason his numbers went down, I think, a little bit is because Rubio's been out a lot. So, like, when they had Chris Dunn playing, like, no one could get him the ball. There'd be stretches where he was playing really well, and then he'd go, like, a quarter without getting the ball. One good thing about Rubio is Rubio will get him the ball on a more consistent basis. So, I think, you know, I think I'm closer to where you have him. Like, I think he could finish the season right around that top 10 mark.
Okay. Now, let's talk about Paul Millsap. Paul Millsap, I actually thought was undervalued before the season. He was going 21st in drafts. I had him higher ranked than that. I think I had him 12th overall. He has been the 41st best player in fantasy this season. He has not had a great season. What do you think is going on with Paul Millsap, and do you think he can turn around or not?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think a little of this is just the change in Atlanta, you know, going with Schroeder and now playing with Dwight Howard. I think that's just they're all trying to get used to each other.
It's not a playing time thing. Like, he's still averaging 33 minutes per game, which is right around where he was last season. Actually a tick higher.
Yeah. Just from watching Atlanta, and I'm not looking at stats, so you can probably tell me if I'm correct or not, but the thing that's been frustrating with him is that he just doesn't get a lot of shots some nights, and I'm always just perplexed. And you know, I know Dennis is not the best passing point guard. He's more of a shoot first point guard. But the touches to me, some games are just way down for him.
Yeah, not to cut you off, but the numbers don't totally bear that out. So he's actually averaging the same number of points and a few more attempts per game than he did last season. His scoring is down. What seems to be his big drop in production so far this season is the blocks. So last season he averaged 1.7 blocks per game. This season he's averaging about a half a block per game, which is a huge decrease.
And I wonder if that's just more, like we said, the way the NBA is going, fours are no longer under the basket. They're playing, you know, out by the 3-point line on defense too. So maybe the block opportunities just aren't there like they were in the past.
Yeah. So he only had two blocks in his first 8 games and only four blocks in his first 11 games. But in his last three games, he's had four blocks. If somebody's treating Paul Millsap like he's the 40th or 50th best player in your league and you could get him on the cheap, I would probably go ahead and try to make a move for him. I think he's lost a little bit of value, but if he can bring his blocks back up to 1 or 1.5 per game, he's going to shoot quite a bit higher in the rankings. I'm trying to think of some players that I might – like, if I had Kevin Love, I would probably trade him for Paul Millsap. Blake Griffin, I'd probably trade Blake Griffin for Paul Millsap.
Would you really?
Yeah, I think so. Carmelo Anthony, I would probably trade him for Millsap. Well,
I would not. That was Mark Roberts that said that, by the way, guys. I would not trade Blake for Millsap.
I actually don't think that's particularly close for me.
Wow.
Yeah. What are you thinking with Blake Griffin?
I'm thinking that, you know, points obviously.
Yeah.
Better. Well, I mean, I'm not sure what Blake is ranked right now either, but a lot of Blake's numbers are skewed, like we said, because of all the blowouts. But he's looked great when he actually gets minutes. So I think Blake will be a top 20 player this year.
Let me pull up Blake. Yeah. So with Blake Griffin, I mean, there's been so many, like even the season where he was like third in the MVP voting, he didn't finish that high in fantasy. I think his game maybe just doesn't fit fantasy as well as he does in real life. So he's been the 28th best player so far this season, averaging 22 points, 9.5 rebounds, 4.2 assists on 48% shooting. I think, you know, part of it is that he doesn't get a lot of defensive stats, and that's where you could really see Paul Millsap outpace him. But certainly if you need points, Griffin's going to outpace him on points. I think they're going to be close on rebounds. Griffin probably gets a few more assists. And then threes, steals, and blocks. You're going to see Millsap probably outpace Griffin. What I will give Griffin credit for this season is he's shooting 80% from the free throw line.
Yeah.
And over the past four games, he's shooting 88% from the free throw line. So if he can continue that, that will certainly help his fantasy value a lot. All right, let's do one more guy. I got a few for you to pick from, Daniel. We could do Klay Thompson, Eric Bledsoe, or Victor Oladipo.
Oh, wow. Just three guys that have been just brutal.
who do you want to talk about?
Wow. I still have Phoenix hangover from last year.
Yeah, okay, let's cross it out.
Let's not do that. Let's not do Clay just because that's
– okay, let's talk about Victor Oladipo.
Let's do Oladipo because that's one that's – even tonight, it's just
– and I will say that we warned people going into the season that, like, Victor Oladipo, he might – there was a lot of hype about him, like, going to be a great play in OKC, and I think we acknowledged that that was a possibility, but we always also acknowledged that it could go very badly for him with Westbrook and he not being able to shoot – and him not being a primary ball handler when Westbrook had the ball. Here's what's going on with him so far this season. He's ranked 96th. He was he's ranked 103rd. He came into the season, average draft position of 31. In 34 minutes per game, so it's not a playing time issue, he's averaging 17 points, which is okay. Four rebounds, two assists, two three-pointers, 0.8 steals and 0.2 blocks, shooting 44% from the field and 70% from the free throw line. Now, the things that really are out of whack for him for his career is the assists are way down. Like in Orlando, he always averaged about 4 assists, maybe a little better than that. He's averaging just 2 assists per game. And then the steals are way down. He's always been close to 2 steals per game. He's less than 1 steal per game this season. What's your take? And then the free throw percentage, of course. He's a career like 82% free throw shooter. He's shooting under 70% this season. So assists, steals, and free throw percentage, Daniel. What do you think is going on?
I'm trying to look up his usage percentage.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. So, I mean, free throw percentage, I think you just assume that, you know, maybe it's an injury, maybe it's getting used to new surroundings or something. You figure that's going to be back in the 80% range. So I actually think that bounces back. But I don't know. I mean, I think the steals and the assists is you can make a logical case that those will continue as he doesn't handle the ball so much on offense, as maybe he has to stay at home on his defenders a little more and let Russ gamble. I could see those assists and those steals numbers staying down. I actually don't think he's a buy low. I would stay away from him.
I think he is a buy low. Now, I don't think me and you are that different with what we're saying. Like, he's clearly, the numbers are probably going to be disappointing overall for the year. But just in the last week, he's starting to look a little bit better. I think the first couple of weeks were just, he was like, oh my God, I'm playing with a guy who's not going to let me touch it for like, you know, an hour at a time. It's like, what am I doing out here? A couple of good things lately have been Donovan's trying to get more minutes whenever Westbrook goes to the bench for his, you know, let's say Westbrook plays 36 minutes. He's trying to have Oladipo play a lot more minutes without Westbrook. So that will help his, and by the way, his usage is still 21%. So it's higher than I thought.
Yeah.
Not great. I mean, not what it was last year, clearly, but still not a horrible usage. But I do think him getting more minutes lately without Westbrook on the court, that's going to help him. And just in general, I've noticed in the last week or so, he has been getting more chances, touching the ball more, and his numbers have gone up a little bit. So I think this is about the worst it's going to be for him. Now, it's still going to be rocky. There's going to be nights where just it's not the shots aren't going to be there. It's because Westbrook is just.
Can I give you 4.4 shooting guards I think who are going to be better than him the rest of the season?
Yeah.
And you can tell me if you disagree. I think CJ McCollum's going to be better than him.
I'd agree with that. Okay. I agree.
I think Andrew Wiggins is going to be better than him.
Sadly, yeah. I agree.
I think Trevor Ariza is going to be better than him, fantasy-wise.
Yeah.
And I think Zach LaVine's going to be better than him, fantasy-wise. I actually think that one's close.
Yeah, LaVine and him will be close. But yeah. But I think you know, whatever LaVine ends up, like, that's where Oladipo will probably – like right now –
They're very similar players.
Like, so right now Oladipo is 103rd. I think he can be a top 80 guy. You know,
I think that's fair. I think that's totally fair. And I think LaVine could actually end up being a top 50 guy this season.
LaVine's a guy I cannot get a solid read on. I don't know if Tibbs hates him or likes him. I can't figure that one out. I can't. It's just he's obviously freakishly athletic, but there's parts of his game I don't like. It's just in certain IT, it just doesn't mesh well with that team. Yeah. But yeah.
All right, let me give you one more buy low quickly. I think Jay Crowder is a good buy low. He's coming back from an injury. I think he could be a top 50 player. I don't think he was drafted that way, and I don't think he's valued that way, but I think he probably provides that much value. So I would try to buy low on him as well. Any other parting words, Daniel?
No, not really.
So
I'm trying to think at this list and just looking at Bledsoe's name, and I'm just shaking my head because I don't know what to do with Bledsoe.
So Daniel, this week with Thanksgiving, sounds like you're still going to do a daily show every day, except for obviously Thanksgiving. There won't be one.
Yeah. As of now, you know, it doesn't look like we're going to do a show because we're doing the season long for today. So there's not going to be one for Monday's night's game, but we are going to probably do one, I think, for Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. Right? And I think, as we mentioned at the top of the show, if you're playing DFS on Wednesday and Friday, I mean, dear God, get ready to you know, have like a whole notepad for that slate, because 13 games Wednesday, 15 on Friday. I mean, you're talking about, it's going to be just madness trying to play DFS on those nights. So I'm.
And what about in no halftime? Who are you thinking about playing in this week in no halftime? I actually liked some of the things we were saying about Kemba Walker. Like, I think that Kemba Walker versus Kyrie Irving would be an interesting matchup to try to get some interest in on no halftime.
Yeah, I like that one. I also think, you know, if you're looking to take advantage of a guy, try to take advantage of maybe Oladipo if you can.
Yeah.
If you can do an Otto Porter versus Oladipo.
Ooh, I like that one.
You know, two of the guys we talked about on the show.
Yeah.
And
so yeah, don't forget to go check out, you know, along with the DFS recommendations that Daniel makes, don't forget to check out No Halftime. You can go download their app on the Apple Store. And if you're not interested, like especially on Wednesday and Friday, like if you start trying to put together a lineup and your head explodes because there's so many players and salaries, you can simplify things. Just pick one player to play that's on your team, one player to play against, and you can play with your friends, or you can play with you can propose matchups to other users online and win some money that way and make life a little bit simpler for you on those big slates. With that, Daniel, so listeners, don't forget to listen in on Daniel's daily shows. Don't forget to check him out on Twitter at Daniel A. Green 1.
That is correct. Good job. Right.
And you can find me on Twitter at Mark F. Roberts. Mark is with a C, like Marc Gasol. And if you have questions, feel free to shoot them out to us. If they're season long, make sure to mention that, and we'll cover them next week in the season long show. Until then, good luck with your lineups. Good luck with your daily lineups. Good luck with your season lineups. And I'll talk to you again next week. And Daniel, I think will be. Are you on tomorrow? Is Kyle on?
Both of you on?
I don't know.
Nobody knows, but there will be a show.
All right.
There will be a show. We will not rest until there's a show.
All right. Sounds good. Take care, everybody.
Later, guys.